All right, so I'm with my brethren, and we are here, and we're going to put this up in the Ecclesia gathering area to edify saints all over the world. We're going to go over and talk about, I did a lot of talking in my verse by verse, Philippians 3, 10 through 14. I'm going to let my brothers talk about and add to it. This isn't a one-man show. We're going to talk about, add to it, ask questions, if I need correction, anything. Brothers, what say you? And maybe we could click back to video so that we could see each other, and that kind of helps with kind of breaking in on each other when you can see each other, if that makes sense. All right. So what say you, brothers?
Very edifying to start with.
Well, that's the goal. We want to edify with the Word of God. We want to dissect the Word verse by verse. Because you notice there's so many things we can miss if we don't go verse by verse, almost word by word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So what are your thoughts?
Well, let me start with mine, if that's okay with the rest of the brothers.
Absolutely.
I think there's three things that really jumped out at me that got my mind going in the spirit. The first one was when you were talking about the fellowship of his sufferings.
Yeah.
And I think this is so important in our life. There's a couple of scripture verses like 1 Peter 4:13 where he says, "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy."
Amen.
You already covered Philippians 1, but there's a verse in Philippians 1 that also illustrates that, where he says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake."
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking about that. It's such, we probably don't think about it enough, the awesome privilege that we have to actually be found worthy to suffer for the King of Kings.
Yeah, the one verse that jumps out me is from the book of Acts when Peter and his brother, I love this, they look out the window, what I don't know how it was, but they looked out the window and they said, "Hey, those guys we told not to preach Jesus, they're back out there again. They're preaching Jesus," and they bring them in and they beat them. I mean, these are religious people that are supposed to know God, and they beat other people. And it says, Peter and his brethren leaped with joy because they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. I don't know too many American Christians that would rejoice when they get beat up for Jesus.
Yes. There's a quote that a martyr, it's always stuck with me. A martyr was in prison, and he said this quote, "It's an honor that not even the angels are permitted to have, to suffer for the name of Christ."
Amen.
"And men flee from it."
Yeah.
And just that jumped out at me, and it's an awesome, edifying thought. The second thing that
Can I break in?
Yeah.
Can I break in? So hold on. Let's do your thoughts one at a time. So let's give the other brothers a chance. So on that thought Patrick just brought up, I have a question. What does suffering do? Brother Kuo or Brother Kevin, what does suffering do?
Builds endurance.
Yep.
Patient. It tests our faith.
Yep.
But through the Holy Spirit, we endure.
What else? Anything else, Brother Kuo? What do you think?
I guess it kind of breaks down old patterns too. Suffering can, it's kind of like chastisement is like a good suffering, I suppose you could say. So it can help, even though it seems grievous, but
yeah, I think you're on the right path. How about, does it help kill your flesh? If you walk around protecting your flesh all the time, oh, I don't want pain, oh, I don't want to feel bad, oh, I don't want to suffer, you're walking around in your flesh. If you say, like I read Revelation 11, 12, if you say, "I love not my life unto death, I don't even care," I think that helps grow you in Christ, does it not?
Amen. I have a verse to back up what you just said. 1 Peter 4:1. "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his life, of his time in the flesh, to the lusts of men, but to the will of God.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I always think of suffering for Christ as like a purifier, too.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah. What's your second point? What's your second point you said, brother?
Second point was when you were talking about and explaining how Paul, and he really does hammer this home, he has not attained or apprehended, and he keeps striving, and I think that is a pitfall that so many who are new in the faith risk stumbling into. I know it was something I struggled with, where you grow and you grow and you overcome a lot, and if you're not walking in the Spirit and you get in your flesh just a little bit, you can start to think, man, I've given up so much, I've come so far, I've gotten all this done, and you start to think, you know, can't I get a break here? Or you start to think like, well, I already got this far, like, let me stop and breathe a bit. And if you have brethren who are pushing you onward, somebody's holding you accountable, people hold your feet to the fire, the word of God convicting you, if you're not walking in the Spirit and you don't remember, you haven't gotten anywhere yet, really, you're only just starting on this walk, then it can really cause a lot of problems and it can stumble you, and you need to really keep this in mind that Paul, writing this, I believe Philippians was written towards the end of his ministry.
Yep, in jail, while he was in jail.
Still, I mean, if any, I don't know about you brothers, but if I could come close to Brother Paul and what he got, I would be jumping for joy.
Yeah.
And he said, I haven't gotten anywhere yet. I mean, that's just an amazing thought to keep us humble and focused.
Yeah, can I throw some in there? So we're in a race, and we know it's not a sprint, right? Brother Koo and I always talk about this. It's a marathon. And so if you're newer in the faith, you're in the beginning of your marathon. And I'm an old man. I might be near the end of my marathon, but I'm still not done. I might be closer to the end because my life might end quicker, but I'm still not done. And so Paul lays that out pretty clear for us. Yeah, good point. Brother Kevin, any thoughts on that?
The first verse. Yes, we are tried like silver and we are like sheep for the sacrifice, and that's to our benefit.
Yeah. Amen.
As long as we walk in the Spirit, not the flesh.
Amen. That's a good point. Yeah, I've heard this from more than one man. Ready? Especially newbies, new people. You mean I got to do more? I did, like Patrick said, I did this. I gave up drugs and porn. There's more to do? I thought I'm done. And it's like, actually, those are good things to give up. But there's going to be a lot of people in hell that gave up drugs and porn and don't make it. I like to tell people that, and they go, what? And I go, think about it. If one lie puts you outside of the kingdom, you better keep striving all the way through, because there's a whole bunch of sin that's going to easily beset you in this marathon race you're in. So that's a great point. And that's why, how glorious is it to have a body of believers and brethren where you get a flavoring of all different people, older in the faith, medium in the faith, brand new in the faith. And you get to, it's kind of that recipe I was talking about that brings everything together and makes it a beautiful thing, doesn't it?
Amen.
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 You had a third point, brother?
Yes. Third point that jumped out at me when you were talking about and expounding on the high calling of the high calling that we have. And I was thinking that this high calling is not just for us, but if we have this high calling, then we're also bound to share it. And I was thinking of Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
Yeah, I love that.
And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I mean, we have this amazing high calling. And then we also have the responsibility to share this calling and to call everyone else out there to come. This is the call of God. Come. We hear the call, and the Spirit and the Bride calls us, and then we call others because we hear it. And anyone out there that is athirst, they can come, and then they can call. And it's just an amazing thought.
Amen. That's beautiful. I love that verse. Yeah. It reminds me, I street preach it a lot, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and say you're invited in, but you can't bring your worldly ways with you. You have to lay it all down, and it is a beautiful thing to think about. What say you, brothers? Brother Kuo, any thoughts on that?
I have some notes on that verse that I took about suffering. I don't think, let's see. But
wait, you're going to another topic yet? Let's hold on this. Let's hold on this thing that brother just talked about. Brother Kevin, do you have anything on that? Any thoughts on what he just talked about? The high calling and what we're called to?
I just find it so sad that so few people actually take up the offer.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be sad, it can be a burden, but remember, it's also to God's glory when people reject, and then he ultimately judges righteously. It is also to his glory still. Mm-hmm. Kind of like when the police show up and round up a gang of 50 killers. It's sad that there's 50 killers, but don't we all rejoice and go, great, justice is served, they got them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I had a thought about what Brother Patrick said. This high calling we have, not only we're called and invited to eternal life, but now we're called to go and proclaim it to others, right? No matter how we do it. Guess what? Imagine if you had the cure for cancer. How long would you sit on it? How long would you not tell people about it? How long would you kind of take it nonchalant? Or how hard would you labor to tell everybody you could, you don't have to die from cancer. I got this pill right here. Take this. It'll cure every cancer. Children won't die. Adults won't die. How zealous would you be for your neighbor with that? We brought that as an example before, too. Maybe the cancer one's not a great example. How about a tornado? Tornado's headed for your town. You know it's coming. I think I'll just eat dinner and I'll go down to my tornado shelter later if you had one, or go in my basement later. No, you'd run around and tell everybody, it's coming. Get ready. Neighbors, I love you. I mean, you'd have zeal, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
How about if your apartment building was on fire? You came home and you know 100 people live there. Oh, the whole building's on fire. Oh, whatever. I got to go get some gas at Quick Trip. No, you'd be screaming, yelling, going in, helping, trying to get people out. So I'm just kind of trying to give some examples of how we shouldn't be out of control, screaming, yelling like wild men, but we should definitely be zealous for the gospel to go forth. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You remember the account of the man who had all the demons cast out of him, and Jesus sent him back, what he did, and how he went back and went and proclaimed through all the cities how great things Jesus had done unto him.
Yep. Yeah.
I think that's an awesome illustration of it. Basically, when we consider what the Lord gave for us, because again, the high calling of God is in Christ Jesus, what he did for us, what he gave up for us. And then we can turn around and we go and we just tell everybody that we can what great things the Lord has done for us.
Amen.
And what he'll do for them.
Yeah. Amen. I like to think of Ezekiel 33. We talk about it often, the watchman on the wall. And one of my goals for my ministry as I travel out here, I'm out in the world full time and I'm a van dweller, so I meet a lot of people every day. And my goal is when I lay my head on my pillow at night and I say my last prayer at the end of the day, I like to, in my mind, say with my hands are clean, because every person that I was able to talk to, come in contact with, I got gospel signs on my van, it's all over the internet, I'm handing it out. Everybody I could, I told the good news to. And if I didn't do that every day, I'd have a great guilt about me, because God's given me a zeal to do it. And I know it's not me. I know it's the zeal that he gives us. And I think that is a part of this high calling. No matter if you do it in your town or you travel full time and do it, he gives us that calling, doesn't he?
Amen.
Amen. Good points. Anything else, Brother Patrick?
Those were the three big ones that jumped out at me. There's a lot of meat in there. But
there is.
Let's see
there
what
is.
The other brothers have to share.
Yep, Brother Kuo, what do you got?
I was just going to add on to, I don't think the cancer illustration was that bad, because Matthew 9:12-13, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto him, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Amen.
So that was a good illustration.
Yeah, but, yeah, look around you. You're surrounded by a bunch of sinners, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That, we're no better than them, but we are different.
Yep. And then on that verse, I just noted, I thought it was really cool. Something that jumped out at me when you were talking was, we're always preparing ourselves for our death.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of, like, philosophers and whatnot, like, in my lost life, I was into that, dropped all of that, but they would always criticize Christians because they focus too much on their death.
Yeah.
Like, focus too much on the life after, and that, I think that's such, like, a blessing to, like, not focus so much on this life, and you're just pressing toward that high calling, like Patrick said. But
stop right there, hold that thought. So, Brother Kevin, I have a question for you. Preparing for your death, thinking about your death, focusing on your death, why does that matter? Why is that important to the Christian?
Because that's when we get judged and we get to be with Christ, if we hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen. It's our portal. I'm sorry, go ahead.
In Hebrews chapter 2, it talks about how he freed those who were always scared by death, but Christ came to set us free from death.
Amen.
He even says, death, where is your sting?
Amen. Amen. So I think those philosophers that Brother Kuh was talking about, they have it wrong. It's not that Christians are focusing on death. No, we're focusing on eternal life, which means our death has to come to get us there. So it's kind of like you're going somewhere in your car. You really want to get where you're going in your car. The focus isn't on the car, but the car gets you there. And so you got to put gas in it to get there. And so, yeah, we're not focused on death. We serve a God of life, but our physical death is something that we don't run or hide from, because we know it's our, I said the word portal, that's probably not a good way to put it, it's our means by which we access, as Brother Kevin said, eternal life to come. And if we're not looking forward to going and being with Christ, we got a big problem, brothers.
I just had a thought. This is an awesome conversation, so test me here, brothers. So Paul is talking about preparing himself for death, or we have to prepare ourselves for death. And then he goes on to tell us how he doesn't think he's apprehended, but he's continuously striving to stay and make sure that he's in the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Is that correct?
Yes.
That is how we prepare for death. And I'm wondering if this is connected here. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Basically, he said, if we are in him, he said that to Martha at Lazarus' grave. I think it's John 11. That I am the resurrection, the life. If any man believes in me, he shall never die. And though he were dead, yet shall he live. Basically, if we are in Christ and we continue striving in him and we continue and don't think we've attained, but we continue to be in him and to bear much fruit and to press forward, and we make sure that we're staying in him and bearing much fruit and he is in us, then we have the hope of eternal life through him, and that is how we prepare ourselves for death.
Amen. Yeah. We're preparing ourselves for death by focusing on eternal life. That's like the old oxymoron, but that's how God works. Because out of the foolish things, you know, God works in those things. And yeah, we're preparing for, and it really is, it's our physical death. And philosophers are foolish because, you know why? They don't face physical death. Most of them all ignore it, hide from it, say it's not important, doesn't matter, don't think about it, think on other things. You're foolish to not think about your physical death that's coming. Well, how ridiculous to not face it and wonder and ponder what's next. Hey, God sent a Savior who made the way. Maybe I should consider that. Talk about philosophy. You might want to put some thought on that. No one's come out of the grave except Christ that I know of. So that's pretty awesome. Good point, Brother Patrick.
Yeah,
and that made me think of a few verses in 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 through 16. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good faith, fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, wherein thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And then jump down to verse 16. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach, unto whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.
I love that. I love that verse that says, lay hold to eternal life. That makes my analogy of you're lost in the ocean and that life rope comes flying out and it's Jesus. And everybody tells you, you don't got to do nothing. You just look at the life rope. Just believe on the life rope. You don't do nothing. You're gonna perish. You got to grab onto it. You got to hold on to eternal life. You got to grab on and attain it. You got to apprehend it. You got to endure on it till he pulls you through. That's a great verse. I love that. Brother Kuo, I think you we're keeping going there.
Yeah, and then I just noted for suffering, Hebrews 4:15 ties in pretty well with it, where for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So even though we do go through the sufferings, the same sufferings that Christ went through, he knows what we're going through. It's never like, well, these are new things that we're going through, or these are like, oh man, it's so hard. Well, the Lord knows it's hard. He went through it too. So it's kind of cool to think about. We have that high priest who knows exactly what we're going through if we're striving in him. That,
amen.
That kind of a thing.
We have a high priest. We have a high calling. And it makes me think of, what is it? John 16:33. In this life, you will have much tribulation, but rejoice because I have overcome the world. He's already won the victory and we just got to fight to get to the other side of the battle. He's already won it. It's waiting for us. We just got to fight to get to the other side. And I always like to tell people the scriptures, if we're in a war and we got to fight through a battlefield to get to the other side, and it's a minefield. Guess what the scriptures are, Brother Kevin?
A map.
And what does the map show us?
Where the mines are.
How to avoid the mines. And we can get through virtually almost not exploded if we follow his word and his ways and get to the other side and get to win the victory that Christ has already attained for us. That's awesome. Brother Kevin, do you have other thoughts on this, Brother Kevin?
I had a couple other verses I thought of while you're reading, but also the idea of rewards continually seems to be coming up in prizes. You know, I mean, in the Gospels, he always preached about avoiding eternal judgment, but it seems like in the epistles, there's also more of the letters after the Gospels, there's more of a focus also on the rewards of if you build with certain things on the foundation. That made me think of Revelation 22:12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be.
Yeah. Faith and works, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You mean we have something to do?
Lots and lots.
Lots of stuff to do in this covenant. Amen. I love that verse.
Yeah.
Anything else on Philippians 3:10-14?
Those were my thoughts on it.
I just wanted to make one note about that follow after. You did kind of touch on it. Yeah,
it was very edifying.
Patrick, you're cutting out on us. Go ahead, Brother Kuo.
I just wanted to add about that verse 12 about following after. The immediate illustration that kind of came into my mind was like a shepherd's calling for his lost sheep, and the sheep hears the shepherd's voice, but just hearing the voice doesn't mean he's automatically saved. Like if he's stuck somewhere and whatnot, the sheep has to follow the shepherd's voice out of the situations. Like the lost sheep has to find its way out or follow the master's voice all the way to the fold, And that's what I kind of thought of when it's like following after Christ. But
that's a great point.
That's
a great point. So you're lost already. You're lost in the woods, and a rescue party's coming looking for you, and you hear them going, "Hey, hey, hey." It ain't enough, right, Brother Kevin, to just hear him go, "Hey, what do you have to do, Brother Kevin?"
You go towards the noise.
Yeah, you. If they're moving away, you start yelling and move towards them. You follow, as Brother Aku was saying. You follow, not just hear. And a lot of people, right, wouldn't James say you're a hearer but not a doer? Brother Patrick, are you still with us? Do you, I think you were going to say something.
Yeah, I'm still here. I was also thinking, just rereading it here, about forgetting those things which are behind us. And this is so important that we don't basically stop and be like Lot's wife, which you mentioned, Dawn, or to pine after those things which we've left behind, but we forget them. Like the previous verse by verse you mentioned about Paul considering them all but dung, and I think it's important that we continue to do that in our faith, to continue to basically count everything we come across, every trial, every temptation, everything we crucify and kill in the flesh, everything we forsake for him, that we continue to basically count it but dung and forget it and keep reaching forward and keep striving onwards and just not looking back in the flesh or in anything, just forgetting it, dropping our nets, leaving everything for him and just keep going.
Amen. Great point. You know what that makes me think of? Sister Amma and I were talking about this. In the Old Testament, when God killed Leviticus 10, he killed two priests for bringing strange fire. So all you people that practice Christmas, Easter, Good Friday, and you do worship your way, watch out. God's grace, you're alive because God's grace is available still, but watch out. God might strike you down dead. Leviticus 10, he kills two priests, and then they're told, don't mourn over them. And we got to be careful, as Patrick's talking about, when we leave family, friends, or maybe people that have passed on, like Sister Amon's lost parents. I've lost both my parents. And Brother Kevin has. When people pass on, we got to be careful that we don't mourn over them. And I'm talking about mostly the people that were perhaps enemies of God or people that sinned against God. We got to keep our perspective right. I mean, we're not rejoicing when people die and we think they might go to hell. We don't know who's going to heaven or hell. We don't rejoice, but we also don't mourn. We love what God loves, hate what God hates, and we keep our focus on him and his righteous judgment. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. That made me think of another scripture verse, 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Amen. For a fleeting moment. Yeah, that's all it is. This life is just a vapor, right, brothers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Well, good stuff. Does anybody have anything else? We're going to close out this audio on Philippians 3, 10 through 14. We'll be doing some more. We'll also be doing some other teachings. Anybody got any last closing thoughts? I guess
no looking back.
No looking back. Amen. We're good to go. Thanks, brothers.